that your wife will hear the question that you are the one talking. That's why I don't want anybody, I don't want to create marriage problem. So I say, write it. They're not going to say, now you talk. Even if now you talk and he asks you, say, now you ask that question, say, you hear my name there. Feel free, talk. Write it. Amen. It's the question that matters, not who is asking the question. Amen. Hallelujah. I am aware something about man. There's something, I think, the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 19. I think from verse 7 down to 11 or so, if we read it. There's a statement there that the Lord Jesus Christ made.
They say unto him,
listen very well.
Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away?
Uh-huh.
He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives.
Uh-huh.
But from the beginning, it was not so. Uh-huh. And I said, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery.
Yes.
And whoso marries her which is put away, doth commit adultery.
Yes.
His disciples say unto him,
now this is where I am going. Yes.
If the case of the man be so, which
is if the case be a man be so, that you after you marry, you cannot divorce. Ha! So it once I marry, I cannot divorce. If the case be, of a man be so with his wife, then it is better not to marry. What did Jesus say in verse 11?
But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying,
uh-huh,
save they to whom it is given.
Now, again.
All men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given.
I was meditating on this verse because we do a lot of marriage counseling. One thing that some of us have established is that what the Bible says, Jeremiah is the one that said it, chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, concerning the heart of a man.
The heart is deceitful above all things.
And what?
And desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Then you will now understand why he spoke again in Mark chapter 4. After he gave the parable of the sower in verse 9 and verse 10.
And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him
a parable. Why are you speaking in parables? Yes.
And he said unto them,
what did he say?
Unto you it is given
now
to know the mystery.
The same thing, the same language that he used, that concerning divorce, marriage and divorce, the law, the ability for you to obey that law, that once you are married, you cannot divorce. It's not everyone that can take it, except it is given. And I was meditating on it. I said, it's the same word he used here. That for you to understand the things of the kingdom of God, it has to be given to you. The same thing. For anybody to obey the commandment, the kingdom principle, that once you are married, you cannot divorce, it has, that ability has to be given from above. And you know what? It comes from the heart. And that is why in Ezekiel chapter 36, concerning conversion, where is the place of interest first?
Verse 26, a new heart also will I give.
What will he do?
A new heart
also will
I give. The
process of conversion starts from the heart. Uh-huh.
And a new spirit will I put.
What will he do?
And I will take away the stony heart.
Stony heart, wicked. That stony heart is talking a wicked heart. Man, once he has made up his mind, not even God can change it. Once man has made up his mind, man came. God was preaching to him, do what your brother did. This one, no be preacher, God himself came to talk. There are people, I have seen it God talks to us, show us some things. Sometimes we say it here. That God will go and visit a sister personally in a dream. Tell her, don't wear trousers. He can wake up. Which kind of spirit? They talk to me. I go take Mary. If I don't paint my face, I go take Mary. It's the heart. But when it is given to her, hallelujah, the ability to do that comes from God. And you know what? It comes by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the purpose of the Holy Ghost. Your ability. He gave us the Holy Ghost. Please, finish reading up Ezekiel 36.
A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you.
You see? And do what?
And cause you to walk
in my statutes. It is only when he has given you his spirit that he will not give you the ability to keep his word. See the importance of the Holy Ghost. See the importance of the Holy Ghost. Once you are married as a Christian under any condition, I repeat, under any condition, other than the condition in the Bible, there is biblical condition. And even then, love covereth multitude of sin. If the Bible says you should love your enemy. You see your wife that betray you that you will not forgive her. Person who won't kill you, you say love her. If he's hungry, give her food. Then you catch your wife with another man, you say, I lie. And one very interesting thing is you will hear a Christian say, in our place, as it happens so, I don't be chopping food, though. Or I go die. Do you know what it is to be a Christian? Which is your place? Where is your place? That's why a Christian will be shaking that they summon me to a shrine in my village. That shrine, wicked, oh, pastor. That's why they say, pastor. Which type of... He said, when the Son of Man shall come, will he still find faith on earth? Where is that faith that Apostle Paul landed in a city and all the shrines were removed after his sermon? I said this because I know I'm talking to two groups of people, Christians and church members. Because there are Christians that are listening to me now. They are not even church members. Amen. And there are people that are sitting down here. Your only identity is that you go to Bride Assembly Church. Amen. And so, let's take the first question.
Okay.
And I pick my text from Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Hebrews 13 verse 4.
Marriage is honorable in all.
In all is honorable in all.
And the bed on the fowl.
Yes.
But all mongers and adulterers, God will judge.
God will judge. God will judge. Can I use 2 minutes to explain something here? Who is an adulterer? Who is an adulterer? I've explained this before. In Matthew 19, verse 6, what did he say? Is it verse 6?
Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder.
Where he said in the beginning it was not so. Go ahead.
They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement?
Listen very well.
And to put her away.
Yes.
He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so.
Go on, verse 9.
And I say unto you.
Now listen very well.
Whosoever shall put away his wife.
And?
And except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery.
Now, in that verse 9, look at it again. Except it be for fornication. And they shall marry another, committed adultery. So we have two words there. Fornication and adultery. And this parrot-like preachers, especially in the end time message, who believe that anything William Branham say is scripture. No. Listen very well. What is the meaning of fornication? Every action, if you sleep with any man, any woman that you are not married to, is fornication. Do you hear me now? Anybody you sleep with, you have sex with, that you are not legally married to that person, it is called fornication. Read, see the way it is written again. Let's read that verse again.
And I say unto you,
yes,
whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery.
Now, what is... Okay, go on. Finish that
part. And whoso marrieth her which is put away,
does what?
Doth commit adultery.
Now, let's read another scripture so that you catch it very clearly. That in Mark, Matthew, that same Matthew chapter 5, verse 31. Let me just make this comment quickly.
It had been said.
Listen very well.
Whosoever shall put away his wife,
yes,
let him give her a writing of divorcement.
Yes, verse 32.
But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication,
does what?
Causeth her to commit adultery.
Uh-huh.
And whosoever shall marry
shall
her,
do what?
That is divorced, committed adultery.
Now go again to Mark chapter 10, verse 11 and verse 12.
And he said unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another.
Listen, in all we are reading, look at the emphasis. What is it that constitutes adultery is that you put away your wife and marry. It must be a marriage. If you do that, you committed adultery against her. So what is adultery? Adultery is leaving your wife, divorcing your wife, to go and marry another woman. And if you throw away your wife and she goes to marry another man, that man, the woman, is living in adultery. You are causing that man that married her to be committing adultery because she is bound to that man. Is it Romans chapter 7 verse 2? Romans chapter 7 verse 2.
For the woman which has an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth.
As long as he liveth. But
if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of
unless
her husband.
Her former husband is dead, she's a widow. If you marry her while her husband is alive, you are living in adultery. But if you did not marry her, you just go to sleep with her, two of you are committing what? Fornication. The emphasis is a marriage of a woman that is married and thrown away. That is why the disciples say, if it is so, then it's not good for a man to marry now. That is why I picked that text in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Read it again.
Marriage is honorable in all,
uh-huh,
and the bird undefiled.
But what?
But all mongers and adulterers, God will judge.
God will judge. I'm talking to Christians. People who fear God. There's a condition, some condition that when you enter, you will remain there until you die. There's nothing you can do. You don't jam him. There's nothing you can do. You don't enter. So the best thing is do everything to make it work. No room for divorce in Christianity. When I emphasize marriage in deceit, carnal people hijacked it. It's marriage in deceit. She lied to me that she's 28 years old. After marriage, I found out that she's 48. So it is marriage in divorce. Therefore, I can break it according to the teaching of Pastor Alu. Hey! You don't enter. Let me hear the first question.
Shalom, Daddy. My question is, as a Christian in the message, can a brother just marry any sister in the church because they both are message believers and filled with the Holy Ghost?
The only reason you marry a woman, of course, for your own good, one of the considerations is that you have the same faith so that there no go clash for faith. And secondly, is that you love her. She loves you. That is the only reason you marry a man or a man marries any woman. It is what? Love. For that is what will keep the relationship. It's love. Not because she's in the same church with you. There are people that are in the same church with you, but they are not converted. So be careful. Where you meet the person is not what matters. You can meet your husband in the bus. But make sure later on, find out that he's a Christian first and he's of your faith. And it's not enough to say you want to convert and marry. I will bring him to my church. He can follow you. Devil can follow you. Now, what do you want to be that? Where could they go now? Church. Where could they go? After the marriage, they will remind you. Hear what Pastor Alu said? No divorce. That church, I know I'll make you go again. I know I have power over you. I'll pay your bride price. Now, I'll go to my church. In my place, man, not the follow woman, go to her church. Now the woman, they follow me. Now that time, they go quote for you. So be sure that that man is converted. Not just because he's a member of your church. Any other question? If there is no question, I'm going to dismiss this.
There are questions, sir.
Marriage matters. On the screen, wait a minute. Financial marriage, financial management in marriage. One, should a working wife collect spending money from her husband? The sisters are saying yes. Listen, there are some of the questions you are asking that my answer is not a law, but it's wisdom. It's wisdom because different circumstances, situations, and therefore we cannot make some of these things. If I don't give you a scripture, then I am only telling you wisdom. And I think you should listen to me because the office I occupy goes with wisdom. So listen to me, and anything I say here is for your well-being. Nothing more, for that is my ministry of a pastor. Listen, I believe that the responsibility to take care of the woman lays entirely on the man. A woman is given to you to help you. So if she's working and she's earning, she has only reduced your burden. Not for you to collect it from her. She has reduced it. And a woman too that is earning salary, has business, has income, should know that with this, with my income, I should also use my income and help him. But it will not be a demand. It is an obligation that you are to help him in everything. Help is help, including using your finances to lessen his burdens. So there's nothing where you know the income of your husband and it's time to pay school fees and you have collected your salary. There's nothing say, honey, my salary, let's use it to pay the school fees. But you will not demand it from her. She will offer it to you. Thank you. What's the second question? How do you split financial responsibility and manage when the couples are both working or earning money? I have explained that now. If the wife is earning more than the husband, should she support the family and even bear more financial responsibility? I have answered that, if you understand what I've spoken. Should couples have a joint account to take care of family expenses as they agree, whatever is suitable for them? No law for that. Project like building a family house. How do you decide how much each person contributes to the joint account as you agree? Who manages the accounts? Joint now. You call it joint and you are saying who manage again. Did you know that's your joint? You'll be joint signatories now. Who manages it? You'll be jointly managed. In a situation where one or both partners are traders or business people without a fixed income, how do they manage family personal expenses and savings as the two of you grow rich? Always let this be at the back of the man's mind that whatever your wife does, she's helping you to lessen the burden on you. So you will not place a demand or be angry with her. Don't be angry. In fact, if you don't give your wife chop money, and as she walk, they bring money for you to eat in the house, anything she give you, eat it with thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. Don't begin to say, is this all you are bringing? You the grace. So you know how to manage. Where am I, self? Which one is number? Where they write six? Five. Where they write the six? Six. When a woman takes her husband's money and uses it for the house without telling him, is he stealing? Yes. You must let him know. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is still, you know, it belongs to him. Why will you not let him know? You already say it's his money. You say his money. Oh, because his money is our money. So you will take it without let. If it is our money, then you let him know now that you are going to take our money so that he will know how much our money is left and what it was taken for. He's entitled to know. It is stealing. Any other question? Another. Seven. Who they write all this like this? One person. Is buying clothes for children and children's general well-being the sole responsibility of the father-in-law? I've explained that. Assist the man if you can. Some women look good, but their children look dirty and haggard because their husband is not able to give them money for new clothes, but they use their own money to, now man, they write this thing. They use their own money to buy new clothes for themselves every week. The truth about it is, if the children are not well dressed, the shame is always on the woman. It's true. Because a proper woman is so attached to the children that she virtually lives her life for the children. There's a bond that she will do everything. The children are not well dressed. What of food? Will the mother sleep when the child is hungry? So why will you dress well? Then your children are dressing haggard. That would be wrong. In fact, it's not even, I've never seen it. Never seen it. Where am I now? If a husband's siblings, especially his younger ones, are rude and insulting their brother, should the wife get involved in a bid to support her husband or try to mediate and sue for peace? Before uncle, you only mediate. They are quarreling, you want to join Abby? When they face you, you are supposed to bring peace to the family, not to add fuel to the fire. Don't take side because you love your husband. Hey, they will settle after as a family. Then they will face you. You won't be neutral. Make sure there is peace. It says, is it solely the woman's responsibility to manage and keep the home? Which one? It's the responsibility of the man. Now you are helping him to keep the home. What do you mean by keeping the home? Can you keep the home without the man? Can the husband also support the home management and care of the children? Now it begins, now it's solely his responsibility. Anything you do, you're only helping him. How can a working woman manage the home effectively and efficiently? How can he do it to manage the home, create time for the home? In your busy schedule, know that the home is another responsibility you have. So manage your time. There is time for your career and there is time for the home. Otimo.
Okay.
Rita, God bless you.
Why is it that when it comes to money issue, the man's money becomes our money, but the woman's money is only for her?
You say, read it again.
Why is it that when it comes to money issues, the man's money becomes our money?
The reason is because he is to take care of you. You are to take care of the woman. Just as you will not allow any man to come near your wife. Why? Because she is your wife. She too will not allow any woman to come near the man. Why? Because you belong to her. So you pay the bride price, she belongs to you. Everything you have belong to her. And everything she has belong to you too. Everything she has, by inference, because you pay the bride price, belong to you. But to the extent of what role she's supposed to play in that relationship, she's supposed to help you. Whatever she has is to offer assistance. That's why we just use that terminology, or they use it. And not just that they use it, it's in their nature. It is just in their nature. Nobody taught them that. It's not written in the Bible. Nothing. But the woman's nature is to keep receiving. Her nature is to receive. She doesn't give. She is built to receive instruction, to receive seed from you, to receive the pikin in her womb, keep for you. She is to receive. She is naturally a receiver. So whatever she has, she wants to receive more from you to add to it. It's their nature. So we need wisdom to work with such characters. So when you see they hide money, don't be angry. Because they know if you see that, you're not going to give them more. They don't mean to injure you. They will keep it and keep it and keep it. That's why I keep giving them. Keep giving. Just keep giving. to have peace. Keep giving them. Yes?
Is it right for a wife to take a decision on her own without carrying her husband along because she may be making more money than her husband?
I don't understand that. What has making more money got to do with taking decision? I don't understand. Read it again.
Is it right for a wife to take a decision on her own without carrying her husband along because she may
in a proper relationship, depend on the type of decision you want to take. You have money as a wife and you want to build a house with your own money. That house you are building belongs to the man, no? You are wasting your time if you are hiding it from her, from him. The day he finds it, according to the Bible, he can annul what decision you have taken. You see, why will you hide it from him? Why will you want to take a decision to travel overseas and your husband will not know? Do you know your husband can go to the embassy and cancel it? If he knows. Do you know that even when you are filling form, you have to bring your marriage certificate if you say you are married? And they want to see the consent of the man to make sure you are not running away from him. You are taking a decision to travel. You are hiding it. If the man is educated, listen, you know, I'm crossing to your area. Legal requirement. She travel, go abroad and leave the man here. Is there any legal, this thing, legal action that can be taken to bring her back?
Yes. If the woman decides to travel without the consent of the husband, if for any reason she traveled and there is any element of crime involved in what she did, she can be brought back. Through investigation, once a petition is laid out or made by the husband, that woman can be brought back to the country to answer to that element of crime in what she has done.
If I meet talk, I will go say, I don't be a lawyer. That's why I wanted the lawyer to talk. But that's why I know it too. Me, I know it too. I just wanted to hear it from the legal luminary. Praise the Lord. So be careful, sister, any decision you take. And secondly, it's very risky because there is no basis for a relationship when there is no trust. If the man gets to know that you are hiding things that he should know from him, there will be no trust and there will be no joy in that relationship. You won't enjoy that relationship. God bless you.
How can we handle a wife who dresses like a Christian openly, but at home dresses like the world, putting on jewelry and trousers and keeping unbelievers as friends?
Be praying for her. That's how to handle her. That is what love for her will do. It is your responsibility to clean her up. How do you handle it? Keep talking to her. Prayerfully. And be talking to her. You know you shouldn't be dressing like this. You know I don't like you dressing like this. You know I love you too much to allow people to see you dressed like this. Consider my mean. Everybody know I'm a Christian. When they see you, shame, they catch me. They say, where you will talk. The thing will enter. It will change. Yes? On the screen, Shalom, sir. Last Sunday, you said in the context of a woman attending to her home as her primary duty that if a woman is on her way to church and her husband calls her to come back home, that she is to go back. I want to know, sir, is this applicable to Christian homes alone? What of a situation where the man is yet to have the knowledge of salvation and might be asking the woman to come back for flimsy and carnal reason, just to hinder the woman from attending fellowship? God bless you, sir, and all the ministers. I was in church as first time last Sunday, and I was really blessed and lifted. Brother Victor from Reconciliation and Restoration Ministry at Ogbomosho. God bless you. The truth is, you're already married, and he's not your husband because he's a Christian. It's your husband because he's your husband. Because you have paid your bride price. He has authority over you, whether he's a Christian or not. If you are converted and he's not converted, that is part of it. First Peter, is it First Peter chapter 5? Let's read it from verse 7, 8, 9. Listen very well.
Chapter 5. Casting all your care upon him.
Cast all your care. That is prayer. Prayer upon him.
For
why?
He careth for
he
you.
He cares. So,
Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren.
Verse 10 is my emphasis. Listen.
But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while.
Again, after that what?
Ye have suffered a while.
Again, after that you have done what?
Suffered a while.
You have suffered a while. Including suffering in the hands of an unbelieving husband. Or a wicked church-going husband. A wicked church-going wife, after you have suffered a while.
Make you perfect, establish, strengthen.
And I think is it 1st or 2nd Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, what did he say?
Let the deacons be the husbands.
No, 2nd Timothy.
2nd Timothy. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Again.
Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
All. Did he say some?
All.
All. If you are not suffering in this area, you will suffer in another area. It may be your own area, sister, to be tormented by that unbelieving husband. But cast all your cares upon him. He cares. God bless you.
Please, sir, what do I do concerning a husband that is easily shaken by adversity to the extent that he cries? What do I do as a woman? Although he is the best, but demoralized to see my husband seem weak.
Help him. Wipe away the tears. Comfort him. Give him hope. Strengthen him. Don't increase the tears by saying, be man now. Be man now. You are increasing the tears. Let him know that you understand how he feels. He's an emotional person. Such people are not wicked. That is the truth. They are easily broken down because situations are around them. You have to manage such a person because such people have suicidal tendencies. They are too emotional. They can commit suicide because they don't have the ability to confront situations. That's why God gave you that have a harder heart than him to comfort him. Don't join him to cry because there's no hope. Don't join him to cry. Help him. Yes? On the screen, Shalom, Bride of Christ. Question from Sister Anne Mack from Warri. Please, sir, explain what the Bible means by saying a woman is a weaker vessel. In what way or which aspect of her life is the Bible talking about? She's weaker, even in physique, our physical build. The man, his biceps are different. His muscles are different. And a man is emotionally strong. Stronger than the woman. A man is built to be a leader, and a leader will certainly be stronger in everything than the one he's leading. And so when he says weaker, Because the evidence that is weaker is that the serpent did not go to Adam. Because he knows who will bow easily. So that you are weak, you are weaker, you are weaker. And you are brought out from the man. So, you are only a part from a full man. How can you not be weaker than the whole? God bless you. Yes?
Please, can you explain the impediment of marriage?
The what?
Impediment of marriage. What makes marriage between two Christians not to have basis from the beginning?
I don't understand that grammar. The tenets of marriage. Is that
not what I've been... Impediments. Impediments.
The impediments. Is that not what I've been talking for the past 2 weeks? I should start all over.
Specifically, what makes marriage between two Christians not to have basis from the beginning?
It is simple. That's why I say I have spoken about it. Verse 24 of Ephesians chapter 5.
Therefore, as the church is subject...
No, go to verse 20. I think that is the verse. Either 20 or 21.
21. Submitting yourselves.
This is it. This is the verse I'm looking for.
Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God.
And in trying to explain this verse, I say it is talking about you identifying your role and playing your role. And he went further. What is the role? The woman is to submit herself to the man in everything. And the man is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And be ready to die for your wife. So, that is the foundation of every marriage. Whatever else is built on this foundation, identifying your role in that marriage as spelled out in the Bible. Next.
We are talking about...
Let's go to the screen. Shalom, Bride of Christ. I used to borrow my husband's money when he asked me. He will promise to pay me back, but he never did. I stopped giving him because of a statement he made when we were arguing about the borrowed money. He said to me, if I had not brought you from Delta State to Abuja and set up a business for you, will you have saved money to borrow? So after that statement, I stopped borrowing him money when he asked, even if I have it. Does this mean I am not respected or I am not submissive to him? If you see how fear they catch me as they come to church today, because I don't wonder which kind of question they sabi ask or can't question it. Listen very well. Amen. I have said something some time past when I told you that, when, listen very well, there is a law of giving. Verse 30, Luke chapter 6. Verse 30 of Luke chapter 6. I believe that's the scripture.
Give to every man that accepts of thee.
Again.
Give to every man that accepts of thee.
Again.
Give to every man that accepts of thee.
And
of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again.
If he refuses to pay you back, don't worry. That's what that scripture is saying. That's what that scripture is saying. Now, so the law that guides this is, if you want to borrow whatever it is, now listen, make sure you give only what, if it is not returned, it will not hurt you. That is the principle. Now, but notice that It is, God is not telling us, just like I talked to you about forgiveness. God is not, please, Samuel, I hope the people at the back are hearing me. Eh? Coordinator, please ensure. If you are not hearing, protest, though, because this one concern. You are not hearing. Eh? Why is your hand up? Are you hearing or you are not hearing? I don't know what the hand is up for. You, eh? I should go ahead. Thank you very much. Protest if you are not hearing until you hear. Anytime you come to this church, get one spirit where they off the speaker from certain area so that you don't go hear the thing where it will change your life. So protest. Say, we're not here. We're going to stop until you hear. When God is saying that you should forgive, if they slap you here, turn another cheek. All he's saying is don't revenge. Yes. But let me tell you, nobody offends a child of God and goes free. What he's saying is hand over the battle to me. If he hates you, take care of him. If he's hungry, give him food to eat. Even the more you show love to him, the more you are accumulating judgment on his head. So also it is here. Verse 38 of that Luke chapter 6. Listen now.
Give, and it shall be given unto you.
You see?
Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again.
Another scripture says in Proverbs, he said, he that giveth to the poor, you do what? Lend, you are lending unto God. And he gave an assurance, and he will
Proverbs 19:17.
Please read it.
He that hath pity upon the poor.
He that hath pity upon the poor.
Lendeth unto the Lord.
You are lending.
And that which he hath given will he pay
you
again.
He will pay you again. Now, sometimes we are too carnal to. I didn't know this principle today. I knew this since 1990. That I curiously observed that the brother, the sister that come to you say, brother, please borrow me. Now sit down, sir. When he say borrow me, he believes the truth about it is that he doesn't have anywhere he will get to come and pay you back. But he's in need. The only way he believes you will give him is to say borrow. But the truth is, he will say, I'll pay you back so time. The truth is, that is the only way he can come to get something from you and hope that within this period he will get to pay you back. And you give him, he said he will bring back in 2 months' time. Watch it. Within that period, that money you gave him, you have made it double fold. But sometimes we are too myopic, too carnal, too much in the flesh to see that there is, God has paid you back already. You'll be tormenting, and each time you do that, God is angry with you. And people suffer a lot of losses in the hand of God because of that. In my former church where I was, a young man, an elderly man, I gave him, lent him some money. And I discovered after some time he was not coming to church. A thought occurred to me, maybe in a shame to face me, now make another come to church. I called him. I said, you've not been coming to church. He said, is it because you owe me? That's why you're not coming to church. He said, truly, shame they catch me, I cannot face you. Imagine that because somebody is owing me, he cannot come and worship the Lord. I said, please, I write it off. Be coming to church. Because think very well, all that same amount that you borrow him, in one way or the other, an income has come to you that you didn't even work for. So, sister, he is not wanting to pay you, but he's only using the language, borrow me, so that you go give up. After all, how can he borrow his money? So he's even making you think, this money I'm borrowing, I'm the one that set you up. I'm the one that gave it to you. Do you know that in Deuteronomy chapter 8, the Lord warned Israel, when you are full, when you are settled, then you begin to say, it is your own might that has given you this wealth, yeah, this one. And then you begin to always remember that he is the one that gave the power to make wealth. He told them, if he didn't give you money to start that business, if he didn't bring you from Warri to Abuja, where you forget that money, where they keep, where they do. So he's reminding you. That's why you go say, but not true. But not true. Amen. Any other? Any other question? The second question. Secondly, since 2015, he has suddenly changed his character towards me. Anger, hatred, no communication. He eats my food whenever he feels like. He doesn't answer my greetings properly. No attention. I have asked him what I have done that made him to bring to be treating me the way he is doing. He refused to tell me. I have gone on my knees to ask him to forgive me in any way. I have offended him. He always ignored me. He gives me feeding money whenever he feels like. He only tells the children whenever he is going out, not to me. We have only slept together 8 times for the past 3 years. But every Sunday and sometimes Friday, we sit together and have fellowship online with Brother Assembly. When Pastor Moses Alu will say, welcome your neighbor, tell your neighbor, I love you, we will keep quiet. Chai! Please, Pastor, what do I do? I am suffering in silence. He doesn't know if I'm existing in his life. He only cares about himself and the children. The Bible doesn't permit divorce except on fornication ground. Please, I need your advice. Oh, no, man, you and your husband, you're hearing me now. From Abuja, I've settled the case now. I've already answered you. All the money you have been disturbing to pay you back, tell him I leave her for you. Peace will come back. And tell him anytime you need money, don't say borrow. Just ask me, I will give you. And make sure you give him happily. Don't give him grudgingly. Don't make it look as if you are prospering more than him. It's a matter of time. You too, he will stand. Honor my husband. Stand up and hug your wife. Say, I forgive you. I forgive you. Let's start all over. Let's start all over. Church, clap your hands because I know they will do it. Next question.
We are talking about Christian marriage. My question is, a brother or a sister in an abusive marriage, to the extent that the person's life or the lives of the children is in danger, what should be done?
Separate. Separation is not divorce. Don't risk your life. No pastor will advise you to stay in an abusive relationship. One day he will kill you. Or she will kill you. Because there are some women that violently abuse their husbands. Separate until the person's head become normal. Then you come back again. I didn't say divorce. So come off of that house. Go find another house somewhere. I don't have money to rent anywhere. Go back to your papa's house. Remain there. And not only that, report to the police. Say, this one won't kill me, so that he will sign. If anything happened to me, they will hold you. Do something that will make him know what he's doing is wrong. And then his head will come back. Don't stay there, run. But also, be sure you are not the one provoking it. Be sure that you're not the one making him run mad. Because we have muscle, you have mouth. So everybody go use the one way he gets. Speak my hand for me. He tower. One man say, when your wife start, now when you slap on her head, they come down. Now that means there's a demon tormenting that woman. Take her for deliverance. No proper woman, Christian for that matter, that will use insultive language against the husband under any condition. No. So abusive relationship can never be tolerated. Separate, run away with the children. Run to social welfare. Involve government. Let him know what he's doing is wrong. So that he will not think that he can do anything and go away with it. It will check him. Then you are firing prayer for the demon to leave him. God bless you.
A woman packed her loads and left her husband for 3 years. And when he went to the prophets, he told him that the woman is into marrying with her mother. Can the man still wait?
The prophet in this church will use these stones at the altar and stone the prophet. Because a proper prophet, when you see that the woman has marine spirit, you have to bring her for prayers. God does not show us problem without solution. You have to catch that. I'm not telling you what is not practicable. I'm a deliverance minister and I know what God has used me to restore a lot of marriages. I told you of a young man that came here years ago, Prophet Boboye, you know him. You brought him to me. The first day he came, I told you how from what he was a big guy till he married. Businessman, I think importer also, or what do you call it? Clearing agent. I'm talking of years back in this ministry. And they came to me for counsel. The situation of that man was terrible. Oh. He sold everything he had to be able to survive. Sold fridge, carpet, sold, chair, sold. Until not anymore, the wife had a child, newly, baby food. He will go to the bus stop and be begging. He said when the thing reached about 60 naira or so, that time, he will now come home, buy something for them, for the baby and them to eat that evening. That is where he was going until he jammed one man. He didn't know that he has told the same story somewhere before. The man said, no, but you meet me so place. Hey. He said, shame, catch. And the man shouted at him. And then said, tears. He came. Then he remembered that there is one church where anytime they pass, they hear noise. So he decided that day to come. There no service. He met you.
In Kalejaye?
Yes.
2000.
Where the church started. That's our diary. When?
2000.
He never forgets anything. And so, when they were brought to me, while the man was talking to me, the law minister told me it is his wife that was possessed. The spirit does not want the woman to marry, and he married her and decided to frustrate them. So I would tell the man, say, now your wife, Abby, waiting the man don't go through, he will kick her out. I only told him, bring your wife. I want to see the two of you. I want to pray for the two of you. And the day they came, I told him, I want to pray for you one after the other, so you wait outside. The woman was here, I said, you know you are the one tormenting your husband. She said, yes. She said, yes, she knows. It was in the office. He was outside there. He was hearing the wife screaming when I was doing the deliverance on her. He tried to open the door. I locked the door. I said, stay out now. Your own turn will come. and did the deliverance on that woman, then also prayed with him. Do you know that 2 months after that, this same man fettered the whole church?
After 2 months. After 2 months, he got a big contract.
A big contract that settled him. He had a party for the 1 year of his
birthday of the daughter.
Baby. The whole church, we were very few, maybe 100 plus members. We were all in his house. Everybody had five alive, had this one. Total restoration.
In fact, he was the first person that bought the first bed I ever have, bought it for me.
Thank you very much. So this is how a true prophet will handle such cases. We are not to scatter marriages. So what was that question again?
What should the brother wait?
Wait what?
The woman has been away for 3 years.
Has been away for 3 years. The man is supposed to go and bring the woman for deliverance. In fact, sometimes not only the man, the woman, they get the demon wife is more wicked than demon husband. If a man has it, you are finished. They know they go easily. The woman, oh, it's very easy, charm. The thing will run and go. But the man, oh, Kai. Bring her for deliverance. Next question, our time is. I have only 10 minutes more. Shalom, church. I thank God, Daddy, for the grace of God in your life. May God's name alone be glorified. My question is, what if you are a second wife by the time of your ignorance and now you have received Jesus and know that it is not good? What will you do? Is it to quit the marriage from the women that's at Bakaleki Church? No. No. The Bible didn't say so. You are looking at it through the doctrine of deeper life and choosing. There's nothing like that, too. If we are married, even if you are the fourth wife, if you were married before you give your life to Christ, you are to remain in the marriage. He's your husband. He's your husband. But in the Bible, the man, ministry is for the man cannot be ordained as a leader in the church. The fivefold ministry or heading any department at all. No, the Bible says so. But it's your husband. The Bible makes provision, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, for the unbelieving husband to live with the unbelieving wife if she so desires to stay. Or vice versa. If he desire to stay, and you won't, because of your faith, divorce anybody. You met before you became Christians. That doctrine is wrong. That is the first one that is your wife. That is a restitution. How does it even sound in the mind of that preacher that is teaching that thing? Is a human being some object in a shelf in a supermarket? Do you know the meaning of restitution? Restitution is to take it back to the estate it was before. You married a woman as a third wife, second wife. You've been together for the past 20 years. Gave you 5 children. You paid bride price. You were unbelievers. Then you will now give your life to Christ. Then deeper life will tell you that it is the first that is your wife recognized in heaven. When people don't know the revelation of grace, they use human reasoning to lead the church. No. In the time of ignorance, you overlook. After all, There is no marriage in heaven. Okay, what of the children? What will you do with the children? Okay, now. I will not be making love to her again. I won't have sex with her again. Who told you that you married her because of sex? Is it sex that makes her your wife? If you can restitute that woman, if you can take her back to the Esther you met her, since you say she's not your wife, Abby, she's not your wife, then it's somebody's wife, Abby, then you have to return her to the Esther that she was when you saw her. Everything must remain standing. You have finished the woman. You have depreciated her, devalued her, de-shaped her. Then you say, no, be your wife. Whose wife? Not your wife, oh. Praise the Lord. People don't understand grace. All the sins you committed before you gave your life to Christ, they are gone. They are washed away. Praise the Lord. But now that you know the truth, you will not add another wife. If you add another wife, to hell straight they go. Now you know the truth. God bless you.
The verses you read in Matthew kept saying, unquote, the man putting away his wife on the grounds of fornication. On the same grounds, can't the woman put away the husband?
Sure, it's the same thing. It's applicable to both man and woman. You catch your husband sleeping with another woman, you can divorce her and heaven will say amen. But if you love her, you depend on him, manage him. Because you don't have a cover. The man is useless, confirm. It's a useless man that would leave his wife, he's sleeping around. So know what you go do. Start prayers. So. Start prayers. Don't jump, vex, get. Meanwhile, the man, they take care of you. Your papa not going to even collect you back for your house. So don't just say, the Bible says you go. And forget it. Don't see that man where they look you one time for your office. Say you go marry him. He just want to have fun with you. Not going to marry you. Okay. So the one where you go, hold on, manage him. Just the manager. Say, Father, help me. This man is useless. He's a chase woman. If you know the girl, where is the chase? Go meet the girl. But leave my husband for me now. Why they do this kind of thing? Eh? Is it fair? Eh? Leave him for me now. Eh? Go find your own now. Come, make her help you. Make join her and pray. Make get your husband. Leave him now, I beg. Go beg the man. Because there are some way, sister, when they pray, if you go jam these agents, you can't threaten. I go look, you say, eh. They can't abuse me. They can't attack me. You are finished. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name. The last question now.
Are marriages in Catholic Church regarded as Christian marriage? Can a brother or a sister marry a true Christian from there?
You have not heard me. What makes anybody your wife is the bride price you have paid. If Catholic Church is the church you belong, that's where you will bless that relationship. That is marriage blessing. It's not the marriage blessing that make her your wife. It is the bride price you paid. So let that not create problem for you. Question still come, Shile. Good morning, Pastor Moses. My question comes from the book of Deuteronomy 22. I want to know the relation with Matthew 19. Want a brother blessing Zulu from Zambia. Let's read Deuteronomy 22, verse 23, correct? If any man take a wife and go in unto her
and hate her,
and hate her,
and give occasions of speech against her, and bring up an evil name upon her, and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gates. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hated her. And lo, he hath given occasions of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid. And yet, these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. And the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him. And they shall amass him in 100 shekels of silver and give
him. He will pay for it. He will pay for it. He's comparing it with what? Matthew 19 what? You're comparing that with Matthew 19 what?
Matthew 19:9.
Yes.
And I say unto you, verse 9, whosoever shall put away his wife except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery.
There is no basis for comparing that. In Israel, before you marry, you will confess to the man that you are not a virgin. If you don't confess that you are a virgin, on the honeymoon night, there is a token of virginity, a white cloth that will be put on the bed for the man to defraud you, to disvirgin you. The blood that will come out will be evidence that she was a virgin. So what that scripture is saying is, suddenly you start hating her, and that evidence will be given to the parents, so that you will not come tomorrow and say you didn't marry a virgin. They will use it against you. That's what the law said. But now, it's not applicable now. Because these days, you can't get a virgin to marry now. Very, very difficult. You see grace? You see grace? All your past are gone. Now, you are a virgin as long as the two of you are concerned. That no other man meets you during the period of your courtship, and if he finds out that's a fornication, he can break the relationship. And I want you to note that this is so serious. Until Deuteronomy chapter 24, the first 3 or 4 verses there. Deuteronomy,
When a man had taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes,
yes,
because he had found some uncleanness in her,
uh-huh,
then let him write her a bill of divorcement,
uh-huh,
and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house.
Uh-huh.
And when she's departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hates her, and write her a bill of divorcement, and giveth it in her hand, and sendeth her out of his house. Or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife, after that she is defiled. For that is abomination before the Lord. And that shall not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
So you see, if whatever is the reason you send your wife away, and she marries another man, and that man, they did not walk there again, and for any reason wants to come back to the first one, the law says you cannot have her back because she's now adulterated. That is adultery. You cannot take her back. That is why it's good to follow these laws, this commandment, and live your life so that you will enjoy your life here on earth. God bless you. Shalom, brother of Christ, worldwide. I have a question on the use of contraceptive for childbirth control. As a believer, is it a sin? Suppose I have the number of children that we desire. what are we supposed to do? A sister from Zambia. Oh, Tanzania, sorry. Listen, contraceptives, for various reasons, a woman can have birth control. Medical ground, I agree that even on economic ground, whenever I see a poor man, your salary is 30,000 naira in a month, every year you bump picking, to me, of course, they follow you. It's true now, you born children that you can't take care of. Since it is within your ability to control it, why not have what you believe you can take care of? Children are not assets. So when it comes to contraceptives, there is a medical ground, and I believe and I agree on economic ground. And we know that we are in an age of information, knowledge. That we know now medically even the time of old, we know which period a woman can conceive if she takes it. They call it ovulation period. That's when the egg is released, ready to receive the seed. So if you don't want to have any more baby, then within that period, stay away from meeting each other. But if you stay away within that period and then the thing still enter, it means that child is a child of purpose. God bring him by himself. Don't go and commit abortion and remove that child. You have done your best. But we have knowledge enough to know when to meet for conception and when not to meet. I think that should settle that.
When a spouse has a misunderstanding with someone,
eh?
When a spouse has a misunderstanding with someone and asks his partner to stay away from that person, what will be the partner's reaction when this spouse settles the quarrel with the third party?
I don't understand that. Sorry. Again.
A spouse has a misunderstanding with somebody.
With someone else, yes.
And asks his partner to stay away
from that person. Stay away from that person.
Now that the spouse has settled with that third party, what should be the partner's reaction?
The reason for the separation is over now. So you continue your normal relationship. Nothing more.
My husband always wants me to share financial responsibilities at home with him equally. How can a wife balance the home responsibility without being disobedient?
I think I've answered that question. Any other question? Shalom, sir. In a situation where my children, you are trying to bring up in the way of the Lord, are not ready to follow you in serving God in the right manner, what should you do? This one and our children, they are not ready to follow. They're not ready to follow. That means those children must be independent, living independent of you. A child that depends on me will not tell me, no, serve my God. You are finished. And when they do that to you, it's because they know you, they don't see you finish. You have a son that is not afraid of you as a father. Something is wrong with you. So what should you do? Be a father. Take your position. Bring him to book. And if he's now of age, he's 18 years, he has finished school, he's now working, he will give account of himself to God. He will not be held responsible for the decision he takes. You are free. God bless you.
What should he?
Shalom, sir. Please, my question is it right for a husband to say no to his wife for sex? And at what ground is it right for a spouse to deny each other of sex? Sister Peace from Sweden. Is it right for a husband to say no to his wife for sex. No, the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 from verse 2.
Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the
wife. We are reading 1 Corinthians chapter 7, now verse 3.
Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence.
That is the question. This is the benevolence talking about.
And likewise also the wife unto the husband.
Uh-huh.
The wife hath no power of her own body,
you
but
see?
The husband. And likewise also the husband hath no power of his own body, but the wife.
So it's wrong for either to deny. Remember, it's deny. The question is talking about deny. Okay, let's finish reading that scripture.
Verse 5. Defraud you no one the other, except it be with.
Now, you say on what condition? This is one of the conditions.
Defraud you no one the other, except it be with consent for a time.
And it has to be consensual. You have to agree that this period there will be no sex. And usually it's prayer. But if the woman is sick or the husband is sick, that's why I say the word denial. Deny. There is no ground to deny each other. So I said deny means I can do it, but I'm refusing to do it. That's the meaning of deny. But if the person is sick or the person is angry with you, or the person is frustrated in any way, or the man is seeing that you are not clean, not the wash, you the smell, you are not keeping yourself clean, it will not be denial now. There's a reason for it. But you have no reason to deny when you are in position to do it. God bless you.
What should a wife do when the husband calls his ex?
One question here, one question on the screen, and then we end for today. In fact, we end. And we'll now be going online first week of every month, Marriage Matters. Online. Yes?
What should a wife do when the husband calls his ex-girlfriend on daily basis and claims nothing is going on between them, yet the video call... The husband calls his ex-girlfriend on daily basis and he claims that nothing is going on between them, yet the video call every day. What should the wife do?
What should you do? Amen. They are still together now. He's lying to you. They are still together. He's lying to you that they have nothing. If you have nothing, then why are you still communicating? Your husband is a fornicator. Now, your girlfriend is a fornicator. He's in love with another woman. That's the meaning. So what should you do? Possess your possession. Earnestly contend. Earnestly contend. Upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. And the daughters of Jacob shall possess their possession by fire, by force. Take that young girl's picture to the altar. Talk. Gossip. Lose them. In the walk. Because the man is not normal. The woman don't carry and come out. Therefore, return. And make sure you don't have bad character where they send the man go cool himself with her. Because sometimes, now your action get the way where they harass the man. When you turn to the other girl, the girl go the pamparam. So whenever you give her heat, he will go and cool here. So be sure that you find out. Wait till they make this man go back there and do everything If not, your prayer no go work. Oh. Your character destroy your prayer. Oh. Can we stand up, church?